How can you manage a chronic condition that forces you to change the trajectory of your life? And how do you not let that chronic condition take over your life? Find out who Linda is and how Tammy uses Linda to help her cope with mastocytosis. We want to thank Blueprint Medicines for sponsoring this series on mast cell disease. You're listening to The Itch, a podcast exploring all things allergy, asthma, and immunology.
In an effort to get all perspectives of mast cell disease, we also wanted to talk to somebody that has mast cell disease and was open to sharing their experience with the journey of getting diagnosed with mast cell disease and some of the experiences that may have allowed for learning and possibly some tips and pointers for people who think that they may have mast cell disease. And so we are talking to Tammy today. And again, we just want to say that mast cell disease, there's so many types of mast cell disease. And so that also means that the spectrum of symptoms can be variable. And so we're going to touch on Tammy's experience, but we also want to say that not every patient has this type of story with mast cell disease. Thank you, Tammy, for being on today and joining us and being open to sharing your story and your journey.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess to get started, what has your journey looked like? What are the symptoms that you started experiencing that led to you being concerned that there was something going on with your health?
My symptoms started with a single hive on my left ankle. That hive stayed there. It didn't leave. It didn't move. I got no more hives for a year. Then one night I went to bed, I woke up the next morning, and it looked like somebody had poured scalding water all over my body. I had an inflamed immune response with it. I kept going in and trying to figure out what was going on. I kept getting told you're coming into contact with something that you're allergic to, be it a food, be it a lotion, laundry detergent. So I started keeping a journal on what I came in contact with to see if there was something that I thought, okay, that's the cause of all of this. Well, that stayed there and it didn't go away for 3 years. I would go in and they would treat it and we would kind of move forward. It would kind of go back in severity and then it would just come back again a few days later after I would get treatment for it. That continued for, like I said, 3 years. Then again, one night I went to bed, the next morning I woke up, half my lip was swollen. I went to so many immunologists and they just kept saying the same thing. You're coming into contact with something. We know you're allergic to something. We tried allergy testing, skin allergy testing, and that was not a good idea. I reacted to quite a few things and I had pretty severe reactions to some of them. Nobody knew what was going on with me. Mast cell disease, systemic mastocytosis was never uttered. It was basically, I was doing something that was causing this and I needed to figure out what it was. I then left and moved to the East Coast to go to school. The program that I was in is very stressful and it caused anaphylaxis to start. I started having numerous anaphylactic events. And we couldn't figure out why. Well, then one of my professors said, I think I know what's going on with you. And she said, but we have to pull bone marrow to confirm it. And when they pulled my bone marrow, October the 11th of 2015, I finally got a diagnosis. So I went from 2004 to 2015 without anybody knowing what was going on with me.
Yeah, that sounds like definitely a lot of stress and a lot of not really understanding what's going on. And I think that that's the hardest part for a lot of people with any diagnosis is when they don't have a name to what's going on, not understanding what's going on with your body in general is confusing, but then not having a clear diagnosis, I think makes it harder for people.
Definitely. Yes. I mean, the people that I've connected with who have mast cell activation syndrome said the same thing, that they felt like everything fell back on them like I did. And a lot of times nobody believed that something was wrong.
Yeah. And I think that because the symptoms of mast cell disease vary so much and there can be overlap of so many different conditions and diseases that can present in similar ways, it can be very confusing. And it really depends on what starts first or what kind of symptoms you have. I think the cool and sometimes the not so cool thing about medicine is that we're constantly learning. So we're literally constantly figuring out new things about different conditions, and conditions that we know a lot about, we're learning more about those, and conditions that we've never even understood were there, we encounter. So we discover new conditions or have names to put to conditions that we thought were different things. So we're constantly evolving in our knowledge. So now I think our journey as doctors, patients, people is so different in everything that we do, but also in medical conditions where we are able to just get so much more information so quickly on our own. And obviously, as a physician, I know that that can have pros and cons, because I think that it can lead to a lot of people worrying about things that they might not have. I think it's absolutely okay to be Googling your symptoms and trying to figure out maybe what's going on if you've been through a journey that's difficult, or even in the beginnings of trying to assess what you may have, just to get some more information. We've talked about this multiple times on our podcast. We have to take that information with a grain of salt. And then the next step is to discuss it with somebody that has more knowledge about all of these different conditions and how everything might fit together in the journey that you're truly experiencing. That is one point that we need to highlight here, because again, you were connected to somebody that was super smart, and it was really awesome that she was so on top of it and was able to get you to a point where you were able to do a diagnostic test that was crucial in your journey. But I just think that between 2014 and now, we're just living in such a different world. And I think that that journey for patients can look so different. Remember that Google exists, and it's awesome, but that we also have to be really careful, because it can sometimes lead us down a path that can be really scary for certain people and can lead to a lot of anxiety. And as we talked about, stress, anxiety can be really hard for people and can make things even worse. And so we want to limit the amount of stress, anxiety that we're causing our bodies. This is one of those things that can sometimes lead people down a rabbit hole that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, with that being said, it would be really interesting to hear, Tammy. So if you had access to Google 10 years ago, how do you feel like your journey would be different? But also, what would you say to people who are kind of in the place you were 10 or maybe 12 years ago, who now have access to Google? How would you guide them through their questions, concerns before they get their diagnosis?
I get a lot of questions on this from people on TikTok, honestly. Can I take your video in? Look, just like I do, can I take this in? And I always tell them, what you do, make sure you talk to your doctor, because you can't treat this on your own, no matter how hard you try. I mean, I know I have over-the-counter medicines and antihistamines and things like that. They may help reside some of it a little bit, but it's not going to make it go away. So you definitely advocate for yourself, research for yourself, make sure that you are on a team with your doctor, because sometimes you may come across something that they're not aware of. So take that to your doctor and look at it as a team approach from the very beginning. So if you do Google something and you come across mast cell activation disorder and you look it up and you see pictures and you see all of the symptoms, I would say print it out and make an appointment with your doctor and have a conversation with them, because that initial conversation is very important. And you can continue, hey, did you think about this? I have some more information for you. Because I found, even in my journey, that a lot of the doctors that I've come in contact with know nothing about it. Still to this day, know nothing about it. I've actually had physicians, when I've gone in, tell me that my case is above their knowledge grade and they don't want to take on the liability. And I do know that some other people have had the same experience that I've had in that. It's been a common theme that I've heard from other patients who have it, that they're having problems finding a physician that, one, knows about it, and two, wants to take on someone because they don't know about it, which I appreciate. I mean, and I've even said that to individuals. I appreciate someone that says to me, hey, I don't think I have the knowledge to be able to treat you. Let's try to find somebody else that can. Again, you have to have someone that feels comfortable with you as a patient too. And you have to feel comfortable with them as a physician. So I guess in the end, I would tell them, if you're Googling something, always go in it as a team approach, because all the way through the journey, you are going to be a team with this.
Thank you, Tammy. I loved all of everything that you just said. I think what we do need to remember, and I tell my patients this, is that doctors are also human, and we really are trying our best. And there's different conditions that different doctors really enjoy treating and take a special interest in. I think that we have to acknowledge and respect that. So I really love the fact that you're saying it's not something that you have to look at that doctor and say, oh, how can you be a doctor? And how can you continue to practice if you don't know something? Because the bottom line is that, again, we're continually learning in medicine. I think this message is more for doctors. Knowing your comfort level is very important, and being able to acknowledge the fact that this isn't really something that you feel comfortable treating. It's a big deal for doctors to do that, to be honest with you. I think most doctors, most humans, don't like to acknowledge that maybe they don't have the know-all to treat something, or they feel uncomfortable with a condition that maybe should be in their wheelhouse. But again, mast cell disease, because it can present in so many different ways, and also it are just different conditions, there are different specialists that need to be involved depending on the severity of the condition.
I think we should get to quality of life and just kind of like what it's like to live with mast cell disease.
Quality of life goes day to day. I think that that's an important thing to highlight for people who have this, because you never know one day from the next how bad things can get. You have to live day to day for quality of life. Has mine decreased? Absolutely. I was in medical school. I planned on being a neurosurgeon. Well, that didn't happen because of this disease. So what I ended up doing, I use it and I try to help advocate and educate for it. So you can change. You just have a new normal with this. The medications, depending upon how much they go, the different side effects can cause issues as well. Some make you sleepy, some make you nauseous, some make you have gastric issues. Trying to maneuver those can be hard, especially if you're working. I think quality of life, you just have to take it day by day and understand that normal is subjective and this is your new normal. And every day for me personally is a learning experience, because I never know. Like, I may wake up with some new symptom and I'm like, okay, so we got something new today. And I think that a lot of times it's easy to get bogged down in symptoms, and people with a chronic illness can feel blue and have depressive episodes. And those are sometimes hard to maneuver, but I think remember that you'll go get through it. The next day may not be the same, and the day after that may not be the same. And you may end up having more good days than bad days. That's what I would say about quality of life. It really depends on what type you have, the severity of it, what medications they have you on. Sometimes your mental outlook as well can play into that. It's subjective, but for me, it's my new normal. To separate the disease from myself, we call it Linda. So that I have the disease, she doesn't have me. So all of my friends will call and, how's Linda doing today? Just to separate it from myself, to help me deal with it, with the quality of life thing. And, you know, it came from that little skit with, listen, Linda, listen. Well, she doesn't listen.
That is so cute. I really love that. You're kind of disassociating that condition. And it's almost like how different people can affect us on different days. I've never really heard that analogy for chronic conditions, but it really makes sense, because you can't really know how your partner is going to affect you that day, how your best friend might say something that might totally throw your whole day off or might make your day really great. You know, I really love that analogy. I think it's beautiful. I think it really adds that element of, this isn't the only thing that I am. This is something that's affecting me. And the just like somebody can affect you and your mood on a given day, but that doesn't mean that's who you are. Going into that, how have you kind of navigated this? I think number one, I want to start with work. How would you tell people to navigate their journey when they're working with a chronic condition?
When I was working, I was blessed with very supportive bosses who during the time understood that, well, they could physically see something was going on with me. We didn't know what it was. So they were very open to allowing alternative working conditions for me. I could work from home for some days. I would say, be honest as much as possible. I do know that some people aren't blessed like that and don't have those privileges. I would just say, be honest. This disease a few years back disabled me. So I've been disabled, but I've still been able to find other opportunities that are out there. So even though you may not be able to have a traditional type of employment, there's a lot of opportunity just out there that you could find to continue if that's something that you have to do for insurance purposes or financial purposes. It's hard to maneuver that because I felt like I was not a normal person. I couldn't do the things that my coworkers could do. There were days that I would go in and I didn't look the same or I didn't feel good. And even now outside of work, there's still things that you look at people who quote unquote normal and you're not those people. And it's hard. It's very, very hard sometimes dealing with a chronic illness to see normal when you're not normal. And I think you have to, again, go back to, well, that's your normal, but that's not my normal. I have a new normal. And in that, it even falls into working. Like I said, I've been blessed all the way through my journey with this because I've had very supportive friends and family, and my bosses have been fantastic.
The key message is being open and honest with your family, friends, workplace. And like you said, that is a privilege. Not everyone can do that and feel job security. Some people would be nervous that that could lead to them not getting that raise or getting the next opportunity or whatever it is. And that fear can sometimes lead people to not be as open with their journeys and what they're going through. It is important to be as open and honest as possible, especially with your friends and family, where, you know, that support is so important in any chronic condition. For those bad days when Linda is not being nice to you, you need to be able to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm not having a good day. My next question would be, have you spoken to somebody like a therapist or a psychologist?
I did. After the traumatic event where I was in the hospital for so long and I had lost the use of my body and I got it back, my doctors felt that that was trauma. I needed some support to be able to maneuver through those feelings and what had happened. So yes, I have, and I still do. I do still have a therapist who I talk to because managing this is hard. And I think that mental health is so important in this because it's not something that people talk about with any chronic illness. It plays such a role in this. So yes, I tell everybody, and I'm very open about that because I don't want anybody to feel that it's something to be ashamed of. There's nothing shameful about saying, hey, I need help maneuvering everything that I'm going through.
Can I ask you, so if I'm in a position where I feel like I need support, I'm just not sure how to ask for it, because I think a lot of the time people don't know how to take the first step and ask their family, their friends, their inner circle before they even go outside. Or what would you tell someone to do if they were like, I need help, I just don't know how to ask? Because asking is very hard.
It's very hard. That's something that was hard for me. Even when I physically needed help to do things, it was very hard for me to say, hey, can you help me? What I ended up doing is I have a very select few who I identified as somebody that I felt safe with and that I knew that would be receptive. And I went to them first and I said, I am struggling and I do need some help with some things. Would you mind on those days helping me? Now, when they call, they'll say, okay, do you have the spoons today to deal with my stuff? Or do we need to deal with your stuff? We also have this thing that we implemented where we all get 5 minutes. And we'll call each other and say, I need my 5 minutes. And they'll go, okay, get your coffee and sit down. And then those 5 minutes, you get to feel sorry for yourself. You get to cry. You get to ask for anything that you need and or want. And then after that 5 minutes, we all ask each other, do you need another five? So I think that, first of all, it's important to identify the people you would feel safe enough to go to and say, hey, I'm struggling. Could you or would you for me?
that literally gave me chills. Having that form of communication with people that care about you, that are there for you, is so important to be able to give space to everyone, to acknowledge that we're, again, all humans and that we all need that space to talk about what's going on. And I think with a chronic medical condition, that's even more important to have those people that you're able to have those 5 minutes with to give that space to yourself.
My doctors are always saying, I want to cure you. And I keep telling them, I don't expect you to cure me. I just expect you to support me through this. And I don't think that we as chronic patients give enough attention to how our physicians feel with this as well. Because when you are on a team with somebody and you're on a journey with somebody, they do start caring about you. And my doctors have numerous times, yes, I know, but I still want to cure you. And I'm like, honey, you can't cure me, but thank you. You know, I appreciate that so much.
I just have to go back and just say that first, I love that you have a team and that you consider everyone on your team, including your doctor. I think that's very hard sometimes for patients, because as much as we like our doctors, sometimes we find them problematic. They're the ones who always give us the bad news. And I also have to say that you have this 5 minutes to be heard, but then you give yourself 5 minutes. That's my time. And then I know I just have to move on to my new normal, in that you have Linda and yourself, so that you don't only identify with your chronic condition, because I think it's very easy when it's something that you're constantly being confronted with to just be like, that is who you are. That's all you've got. That's all you can give. That's what's dictating how you plan your day, how you live your life. But saying like, that's just part of me, is so beautiful. And I have to just thank you again for creating this idea of like having this person or this figure that is your chronic condition, so that you can really say like, I'm a whole person. There's so many different sides to me. My mastocytosis is just one of them. And as someone who has chronic eczema where it's constantly flaring, I don't know what's kind of going to happen the next day, I feel like I relate so much to that. And I just want to thank you. Because yeah, sometimes it can just be like, oh, I just can't deal with today. But you know, you do have that support network who's going to say, you're going to be fine, just pull up your socks, and tomorrow's a different day. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
And I think as women, so not only are you dealing with the fact that you have a chronic disease, but the medicine is causing you to gain weight. When they first put me on prednisone, I gained so much weight with it. Not only was I physically changed with these things, and in a world where women are expected to be so tiny and small, and I found that it's mostly women. I haven't had a lot of men reach out thus far, but they've said that it gave them comfort to know, hey, somebody else is going through this. If they're living it, it's real. I see it. You're going through it. You relate. We've kind of created our own little online community on TikTok where we're actually supporting each other online. And just a few days ago, I had somebody from France reach out. So I think it's universal when women deal with a chronic disease, and I'm sure even men in some aspects, because of the physicalities that's, you know, placed on men as well, is often overlooked with this disease or any chronic disease, is how it changes a person, not only emotionally, but physically. Sometimes the medication can physically change your appearance.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit more about community and chronic disease, and how, again, you know, with the internet and with the way that we're all able to communicate, so that we are all really so much more connected now. I think Courtney and I have talked about that on different podcasts regarding pros and cons about creating community around a condition. People that figured out a way to navigate, manage their condition in a positive way, where they're moving in the direction of positivity as much as possible. I think that that's awesome and great for people to be connected. But sometimes I think people can also be moved in that direction of negativity and not feeling supported in a way that that's helpful. And I think that that's really important too, to acknowledge that sometimes if you feel like the community that you've put yourself in is making you feel worse, or making you feel more anxious or more scared about your condition, then I think sometimes you need to find another community of people that you're associating with.
I agree.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think there's also a balance of how much support do you want to seek before you become, this is from personal experience, slightly obsessed with it. You know, you get kind of in this like vicious cycle of like, oh, but they feel this way and I need to learn more about my condition. And you can feed each other's anxieties or you can feed each other's gloomy sides. So I do almost feel like you have to give yourself time checks when you are in these communities to make sure that you don't start spiraling, because it's not always easy to see that you are spiraling in these communities when you're trying to get help and then you kind of take it too far. And that's from personal experience. So it's just like putting a cap on how much advice am I seeking from other people like me, because sometimes we get stuck in our own little microcosm and it's really hard to come out. And then it's really hard to relate to the people around us when we're stuck in this world of everyone else understands me and no one else in my real life understands me, and kind of finding that bridge between like, how do you understand what I'm going through? Because my online community totally gets it and my real life community sees it, but they don't get it. So how do you bridge the two so that you feel like you're getting the support you need holistically?
I limit my time on social media because you're right. It is very easy to, especially in the beginning for me, when we were trying to figure out what was going on. And then when I got the diagnosis, the clinician in me was like, okay, I want to know more. I went down this rabbit hole of PubMed and I was pulling article after article after article and trying to find book after book and book. And then it became, okay, well, I'm going to try to find people online that have this so that I can see is my experience like their experience. And then I got scared because they were talking about the advanced systemic mastocytosis, which I've kind of crossed the line over into that. But that at the time was just absolutely terrifying. The thought of having to take chemo, the thought of, oh my gosh, this disease can get worse. Are you kidding? How much worse can it get? I mean, you're right. It does build anxiety in you. So I think that you have to set limits for yourself on how much you seek that other side online. I've never had an instance where somebody in my world hasn't been supportive of me with this. My friends have been my friends, some of them since kindergarten.
Also, what are you seeking different friends out for? Sometimes you have those buckets of friends that these are the people that I want to go out with. And that whenever I want that kind of a break, I call these people. These are the people that I call when I need to just vent and talk about XYZ. It's also acknowledging the fact that even though some friends may not understand this particular aspect of you, they might not understand Linda, they will understand the other sides of you that they've been a part of. So I think that that's really important too, because I have heard that with chronic conditions that you can lose some of the people that have been very important to you in your life. And of course, sometimes you do need to let go of people in your life if they're not serving a purpose for your life. But I would say that understanding and acknowledging that different people can serve different purpose in your life is also important.
The advice that you're giving is priceless for anyone who feels like every day they wake up and they're just like, oh, this again.
My last question for Tammy would just be, is there something that you want to share that you tend to share on your social media channels or something that people really seem to resonate with and that seems to help people in your inner circle? Is there something that you would want to share with the people that are listening to this podcast?
As a person who has a chronic illness and especially a mast cell activated one that still isn't well known within the medical community, do not be afraid to advocate for yourself because nobody else is going to do it. You have to. I would tell them to become educated on the disease, because sometimes that education can become comforting in the fact, I understand a little bit more what's going on with me. Again, team approach with your doctors. That's going to be the most important thing when dealing with this, because if you don't feel like your doctor is on your team, then maybe you need to find another doctor. That doctor may not be the doctor for you. And it's okay if they're not, but that team approach is so important when dealing with something like this.
Everything that you've shared and talked about today, I know for a fact it's going to help a lot of people. So I thank you for that. I'm thankful that people who are going through chronic conditions like you are open to sharing their experiences and sharing everything that they've learned. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing the word, because we need it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Remember that all information you hear today is for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for the consultation, diagnosis, and/or medical treatment of a qualified physician or healthcare provider. And also, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And if you have a second, help spread the word by rating our podcast and sharing with your friends and family who might also be interested in learning more about allergies, asthma, and immunology. You can always stay up to date by checking out our Instagram, The Itch Podcast, where you can leave questions you are itching to know, or check out our website, which is www.itchpodcast.com, which contains more information about the subjects we covered in today's episode and every episode. Until next time, have a fabulous week.